Well, hello everyone. It's good to see you. Thank you for joining me today. It's great to have you here. And I suppose in lots of ways we are all just starting to enjoy a little bit of this easing of lockdown. You know, perhaps shops opening, things are getting a little bit back to normal. People are going to work if they haven't lost their jobs, which is sad, of course. And we can meet in a bubble or outside in people's gardens and so on. So it is seeming to ease. And yet, and this is really, really catching me at the moment, amongst all of that, there is still incredible unrest and unease, isn't there? If it's not the whole coronavirus, COVID-19 thing, which is still very much around and is certainly in other parts of the world, it's still peaking. It's the other big issue, which is the, you know, Black Lives Matter protests and all the really important and serious things which are related to that. But, you know, there's other stuff which is slipping in under the media eye, which doesn't get any mention. Things like that, the tragic approval of the abortion laws in Northern Ireland just a few days ago. And there was nothing about that. And, you know, there's lots and lots of things which just don't get caught in the media, and they're slipping through. And there's much more. But in the midst of it all, it just seems to me very clear that there is definitely a shaking of the nations going on. There is a rocking of our world to its foundations, and expressing in lots of ways a desperately needy and broken world in which we live. And of course, it's not the physical world, it's the human heart and it's the human person. And yet, you know, I believe that God has given to us as his people, as Christians, the faith and the hope and the focus. And that is to be upon him. And it's really important that it stays upon him and on his ways. We know and we've experienced the fact that he is our anchor. He's the answer to man's great need, whatever it might be, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's about recognizing people's importance, whatever their skin color. There's so much, and it's really important. And God, I believe, gives us that balance. And one verse, I don't know whether you've noticed it on, if you're a social media follower, which you obviously are because you're on Facebook, but one verse which keeps reoccurring and reappearing on social media and in recent weeks, and even, in fact, came up today in one of my sort of devotional things, which some of you may have spotted, which was not planned, by the way, and certainly was not connected. But it was those well-known verses, the verse, in fact, from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And it's these words: "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It's a fabulous verse, and it's been used for years and years and years as a real challenge to all of us. And on one level or another, we can take it to heart, and we know that God is challenging us, and rightly so, especially of course in the light of all that we've been seeing and hearing about recently. And we as God's people need to be a voice and an example in these days of what true mercy and walking with God looks like, showing that there is another way. There is God's way. There's God's way of love, God's hope, God's mercy, etc., etc. In fact, I don't know whether you're familiar with the rest of Micah, but the whole prophecy is about God challenging his people. And through the prophet Micah, he's challenging them about their double standards, about saying one thing and then doing another, and whether they're prophets. And he talks about false prophets, he talks to the priesthood, he talks about the kings, as well as to the wider population. And if you read through the book, as I've been doing recently, there is one section, a couple of chapters earlier than that in chapter 6 in Micah, that the Lord just caught my eye to the other day. It's a section which seemed to not only provide a glimmer of hope for the future of God's faithful remnant and the people way back then, 2,300 years ago in Micah's day, and in the midst of all their issues. So there was a glimmer of hope for them then, but I believe it could have been written for us too, in the midst of all this, our 21st century human mess, as I could probably summarise it. So let me read you the section which God sort of just sparked within me. It comes from chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, and I believe it lays some real basic foundations for us, out of which flow the justice, the mercy and the humility, that walking with God, in the 6 of 8 verse. But it's Micah 1, verses 1 to 5, and it says this: "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God, where he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, his word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of Heaven's armies has made this promise. Though the nations around us follow their idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever.'" Wow. And in the midst of the darkness of the judgment of God, and the wrath of God being spilt out, that is such an encouragement, those few verses, those passages. But it's just two very brief points, if I could just make. And the first one is about elevation. Elevation, where God is elevated and worshipped. And then secondly, that brings in itself transformation, where he teaches, he changes, and he fulfills his purposes and promises of blessing. So firstly, that whole thing about elevation, we all know what it is. It's about worship. It's about placing God in his rightful place on the throne. It's about honouring him, acknowledging him for who he is, for his holiness. He is the Lord God Almighty, almighty, above us, not on our level. And it's about lifting his name on high. It's about acknowledging that. But as part of that worship, it's also, I believe, about prayer too. And it's about us here on earth looking to him and bringing our circumstances and our situations to him. The brokenness and the lostness of humanity. It's about seeking his divine intervention, because he is above, he's the one who can intervene and intersect into our lives. But lifting the world up to him. And that's indicated, the whole thing of this elevation is indicated in some of the words and the phrases which Micah uses, even in those few verses. The mountain of the Lord's house, that's high, of course, will be the highest of all. And then about it being raised above the other hills, and also about God's people going up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. Obviously, this is referring to Zion's Hill, there in Jerusalem, the place which God had chosen for the temple to be built and for his name to rest. And that was, of course, going right back to David's day and before. But it's a place of worship. And people would pilgrim to that place. They would ascend the hill of the Lord, as some of the psalmists and others say. And in fact, right the way through the Psalms and other prophets, they constantly use phrases like high and lifted up. The Lord is exalted. He's ascended. And so there's all these lifting and raising sort of phrases which stirs that place of elevation within us. And so God is there. He's up there because it's about his otherness. It's about God is not like us. And Isaiah actually says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we need to look ahead. We need to look up and look to him. And as we acknowledge him, as we lift him up, as we honour him, as we worship him, the wonder is that, as Micah says, people from all over the world will stream there to worship. Now, yeah, it's talking about the physical place of Jerusalem, but I tell you, this is about the place where God is number one. It's about him. People will stream to him. People from many nations will come. There's a promise. So the power of the worship and the prayer and the praise of God's people does change things here on earth. It's very significant. And we can receive those promises ourselves for today. They're us. And as we stay faithful in worship and in prayer, God changes things. As God is lifted, as we elevate him, he will draw men to himself, which is what we want, isn't it? And that is how God's designed it to be. And in fact, as we do it, we wage war for the souls of men in the heavenly realms. As we worship and we pray, we change the spiritual atmosphere because God is put in his rightful place. And that whole revelation theme reminds me, of course, of Jesus' own words in John's Gospel as he was teaching the disciples in those days, where he speaks about being lifted up and raised up from the earth, referring initially, of course, to the cross, being raised up to the cross. But then latterly, the place of honour and the power which he now holds at the right hand of the Father. So the first sort of thread, in one sense, is that we need to be elevating him. We need to be worshipping him, not letting other things, not letting the darkness of our circumstances get us down, but to keeping our eyes fixed upon him, declaring and praying. And in the songs of praise. And you know, we can, as we worship, we're praying. As we pray, we worship. The two are inseparable. And I believe that's what God wants for us. And as we trust him to do this, God will be at work. And people will notice. People will be changed. They will acknowledge God. And I think that's what's been happening over the last few months. And it will cause them to come, or to stream. Oh, I love that word, that emphasis. It's just got so much sort of power to it, hasn't it? So expressive. And they will stream to him and he will meet them. And that's when the second point, which I want to make, the transformation takes place. He teaches and he transforms humanity. That's his whole heart. He turns things around. He changes people's minds and actions, pouring out the blessing of his promise that he wants to bless. And that's where, obviously, the verse 8 from chapter 6 comes in. It's that place of transformation. People cannot be merciful. They can't walk in humility unless they've been transformed, because that's what God does. And it's a divine work. It's not our work. And that work is deeply transformational. We're talking about not just a man's human decision. We're talking about a heart change, a seed change, where there's a deep reconciliation between man and God. And that reconciliation, that change of heart, is then comes out and expresses itself in actions with fellow humanity, shall I say. And so where there has been war and faction, where there's been division, it's symbolized in this passage about some amazing images of God doing a fresh work. And this is, these phrases are fantastic. And in fact, other prophets use them as well, about hammering their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, it's much more positive. It's not destructive to humanity. It's about positive things. And it's an awesome image, but it's an expression of that deep transformation which God can and does within us. He is true peace, is he not? And he himself wants to rule in our hearts and in the in our spirits, so that we change the way we act, to change the way we think. And that comes from our worship. It's the elevation and the transformation partnership. It takes, they come together. And then Micah goes on to say, everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees. I don't know whether you've got one in your garden or an ability, but you can see the understanding. For there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise. Oh, don't we long for that day when this place, this whole world will be transformed. And it comes from you and I spending our time and lifting and elevating the Lord. And as we look out onto our troubled and broken world, we know that only God is the answer. It's all about him. He's the only one who's going to bring about that transformation. So as we elevate the Lord to his rightful place, let's lift ourselves and our own fellow human beings to the Lord Almighty, to the one who can bring change. Let's pray that people will come, they will stream into God's presence as we worship. Let's pray that God will transform then as a result their hearts and their minds, their spirits and their actions, that God will intervene and change the human heart and give and show love and mercy and justice and all these things which the world is craving for at this time. But he is the answer. And no matter what ethnic background, what colour skin people may have, what situation we may be facing, a virus it might be, what desperate economic times we are in, it is God and God alone who is the one who is the answer to all of this. He has made that promise. He will bring peace. It's not just mere utopia and thinking something, oh, if only. No, there's so much more. This is reality when God is in his rightful place on his throne. The Lord of heaven's armies. He can do it. This is his promise. He wants to fulfill it. So in the meantime, I want to encourage us that we might worship, that we might keep praying, that even in our waiting and our expectation of this day when it happens, we will declare with Micah, as he says at the end of these verses, that though the nations around us follow their idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. And that is our heart, is it not? So may I encourage you to keep pressing in, keep looking to God. I need to remind myself too, please hear me. This is not just me saying it and pointing the finger at you. This is about me too. All of us as God's people need to keep our minds and our focus. Elevate the Lord and he will bring the transformation which we also need. Let me lead you in a short prayer as I bring this to a close. So Father God, You've challenged us through your word. Thank you for Micah. Thank you for many other scriptures where you have given promise about what can happen when your people keep their focus in the right place, when their lives are truly changed and transformed by an encounter with you. So Lord, I pray your blessing upon those who are watching, those who will watch, but on all of us as your people, that Lord, we will keep you at that number one focus, and that, Lord, we will keep lifting our world to you. Change human hearts. Those who are struggling at this time, Lord, we pray for your love, your touch upon them. So come, Holy Spirit, come and be with us, remain with us, but touch our world. It's so needy at this time. So, Lord, help us, I pray. And may we truly be those people who walk humbly with our God in lives of expressing justice and mercy. So come, Holy God, fill us and change us, that we might bless and change our world too. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for watching, and the Lord bless you. Bye.